Quick glimpse of Honduras. Hey, we had an awesome trip, and it was just, it was perfect, and in so many different ways, because I came back not being sick. And so, for me, it's a total win. Not everybody escaped. But hey, it's we had an awesome time, and today what we're going to do is it's going to be a little different service, because we're going to kind of go through some of the aspects of Honduras. We've got several people that are going to share with you some different areas of it. And as we dig into that, though, I want you guys to grasp this. We could not have gone if it wasn't for you guys. The reality that you guys come to here as a church and have supported us and are praying for us, and boy, there are some times that we needed a lot of prayer. Even coming home, we spent 5 hours literally on the center of the Vantage Bridge in that snowstorm that happened the other day. 5 hours sitting there. And like I say, your guys' prayers and just your support. And so we want to share with you guys so you can see kind of what happened down there. But we're going to do it in a little different way. Because many of you guys have been on mission trips. Matter of fact, I was just talking to Austin back here. Three trips with YWAM, is that right? Yeah, so five different mission trips. How many of you guys have been part of YWAM? You know, Josiah right there. Got four or five. Okay, and then we got other mission trips. You guys have experienced mission trips, and many of you have gone on personal trips also. And I think one of the things that happens on a mission trip is we go out there and we get in a place where we see God work. We're in a place where you know, we're out of our comfort zone, so we're trusting in faith, and we see all sorts of things happen. We're usually together with a team, and all these different elements kind of come together as a very spiritual high. And it's an experience that changes us, because it cements our faith. It helps us to be able to realize how true and how awesome God is, and that He's at work. And then we kind of come home and we have a hard time because we're not in the midst of that, and we're not continuing that kind of intensity. And so as I was thinking about that this last week as we were in Honduras, it's like, and realizing that, you know, we're going home, and it's like, I want us to be able to capture some of that and realize it doesn't just have to be on a mission trip. And so as I began to think about it, I think that there's four major key elements. There's a lot of little ones, but there's four major key elements that pop up in a mission trip that create that atmosphere. And so we're going to kind of look at those four different elements. And the reality is that when we go through this and everybody shares, I believe that these four elements are capable of us capturing them even here to some degree. That our Christian walk, our fervor for the Lord, being able to see Him move, doesn't have to be just a once or twice experience in our life. But it's actually something that if we are diligent, if we are intentional, if we look at it, these are things that we can put into our life if we really want to see God move and really want to experience that on a deeper level. So I'm going to have each of these guys come and share a little bit. And the first area that I wanted to talk about is that the first thing about a mission trip is that it usually takes you out of your comfort zone. It usually puts you out of the normal routine. And when you're out of the normal routine, all of a sudden, you kind of are more aware of what's going on, and you actually have to walk in faith. You actually have to put yourself in the place where you realize God is Lord, because if He's not Lord, and if He's not helping you through this, then it's just chaos and we're all in trouble. And so the reality of stepping out into a different culture or into hard situations or getting even with a bunch of people that you don't really know that well, all these things kind of add to this experience of stepping out of your comfort zone. And if you think about it, the majority of our life we try to get into the comfort zone. We try to create the comfort zone, right? I mean, it's cold outside, right? And I don't know about you guys, but yesterday it was like, build the fire, make really good food, sit around and go, this is okay. You know what I mean? It was like, how do we make it as comfortable as possible because it's really cold outside? And so we naturally try to do that. But I think there's something about when we're willing to step out of our comfort zone that we begin to see God and move in a different way. Tom, you want to come share?
Okay, so it is important to make yourself uncomfortable. You could see that in the physical realm. I make a living out of making myself uncomfortable. So if you don't exercise your physical muscles and put them under strain, they don't get any stronger. And it works that way also in with your faith, in your heart, in your soul. And so I want to just start with this verse in 1 Corinthians 1, 27. And I'm going to read a little bit extra, but it says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are so that no one may boast before him. And I think it's really easy to like go into things where you are going to meet people at your point of strength, and you're going to go do something you're skilled at doing. So when I go on a missions trip, I'm like, I want there to be some construction because I know how to do construction, so then I can look good. But instead, on this missions trip, my biggest God story is connected to my biggest point of weakness, the thing I like the least about myself. So I'd like you just to sit there for 1 second, think about yourself. And what is the what's the thing about you that you like the least, that you struggle the hardest to accept, or that you can't seem to find grace for yourself in? For me, it's losing things. I have an entire lifetime of losing things. I have ADHD. My mind is all over the place. I lose things, and I really struggle to accept that about myself. And so, in flying into Charlotte, I lost my passport. I left it on the plane. I immediately realized it. We tried to get to them to go check. They couldn't find it. So at that point, my trip is over. I cannot go to Honduras because I lost something. My biggest point of weakness. Something I like the least about myself. And so we began to pray. And stayed up all night going to look at the lost and found, filing reports, leaving messages, calling people, getting message machines. Nothing's happening. And the morning comes. We got to fly to Miami. I have no boarding pass. I have no passport. I do have a driver's license. And so we just try to get on with just a driver's license. And I'm able to get to Miami. But I still have no passport. I still can't go to Honduras. And so I started talking with God and telling him, this is the worst thing for me ever. Like, I feel like garbage. And if you want me in Honduras, something's got to happen here. I can't get there. And there was in the, I think they were updating some people in the prayer request thread. And so we were praying and we got to Miami and we go to the rebooking desk. In Charlotte, people were less than helpful. They didn't really care. We got to Miami, went to the rebooking desk, and out of the 300 million people in America, there's a lady there. And she gets on the computer, looks up my name and my flight information, and there's a little note attached to it. And it says that they found my passport in Orlando, that it flew on a plane to Orlando, and that a flight attendant grabbed it and flew it back to Charlotte, and we missed it by a half hour, and now it's in Charlotte. They call Charlotte, no one answers. There's no way to get it. This lady looks at the name attached to that note, and she said, hey, that guy, I know him. I worked with him He just quit last week. She's like, I think I have his personal cell phone number. She looked in her phone, found his phone number, called him at home on his cell phone, said, hey, did you have this passport? And he said, yeah, I gave it to so-and-so. And he ended up giving her the personal cell phone number of the person who had it and who wasn't working either. They called him on his cell phone, and he got it on a plane from Charlotte, where we were, to Miami with no time to spare. I had to wait and sleep on the floor of the Miami airport and be there when he got off the airplane and handed it to me. So it's a total miracle, right, that I got to Honduras. But that discomfort of looking, of being able to be weak. So my other verse is in 2 Corinthians. It's in chapter 12, verse 10. And it says, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and in insults. And before that, it says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulty. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So I would just encourage you guys to push out of your comfort zone. Try to do things that make you uncomfortable, because it forces you into the place of, you have to have faith. You have to say, God, if you don't show up, if you don't do something, nothing is going to happen, because I absolutely cannot do this. I can't fly to Charlotte and get my passport. I can't find it. I can't do this. And so I think a lot of times in life, maybe you're avoiding trying to do something because of how uncomfortable it makes you, but that a lot of times is where God's going to show up in your life and show himself to be powerful and strong. So I would just encourage you to push into those moments. There you go.
Man, it was good to have Tom show up the next day. We were all kind of, we all got on the plane. It's like, all right, good luck, Tom. So losing your passport's a big deal. It definitely strips you of, and your wallet and your phone. And so he had nothing. So anyway, so one of the other aspects is not just stepping out of your comfort zone and putting yourself in a place where it's like, okay, God, I'm expecting you to move and help me in this situation. And to step out of your comfort zone is the fact too that you're not doing it alone. You're doing it with a team. You have individuals that come around you, and you're experiencing something that, like I say, is unique in the way that it builds memories, and memories are huge. Like when you have a close-knit family, usually a close-knit family has a ton of traditions, a ton of memories, a ton of things that they do together that they rely upon, because it feeds into the story of who they are, the identity of who they are. And so when you do that with other people, all of a sudden you begin to create this team, this family atmosphere. I think having team and having family is so important that the devil himself has given us a pseudo taste of that in sports. Because people go crazy about sports and how important it is to be in sports, and all they're doing is playing a game. And yet that same idea of team, that same idea of family, we find it all the way through Scripture. The reality is God wants us to have team. He wants us to have family. He wants us to have each other's back. He wants us to be in community and on purpose with one another. And so when you step into a mission trip like that where you're all forced to live together and be right next to each other, and you guys saw all of our tents were right there. We could hear everything, okay? And sometimes that's a little embarrassing, but you can hear everything in your tents all night long. And so it's one of those things that you get to know people really closely, and there's an experience in that that's actually super spiritual. And I'm going to let Nomi share on that.
Hi, guys. Wow, if you stand right here, you can't see anyone's faces. There's a light right there. Okay. Yeah, so I'm sharing a little bit about just the team elements and the team aspects. I have a photo of our big team. There you go. So in this photo, I have one in front of me. There you go. We have a mix of several different elements of the team. So as Dad mentioned earlier, one of our most important aspects of the team was our prayer team and you guys back here. You guys covered us in prayer and you were so faithful. There were several people that while we were traveling home through the night chose to stay awake to be able to pray for us as we came home. And that's just such a gift. So as Dad says, we couldn't have done this without you guys and we're so thankful for you. Of our own team, our team of 13 was made up of 8 of us from Explorer Church and then 3 people from the World Race. I would point out their faces, but I think that'll take too much time. And so those are people that went with me 2 years ago on this year-long mission trip, and we started in Honduras. So it was such a gift to be able to return with them. And one of them brought their mom. And then 2 people from Joliet, Montana, who are hoping to start and do missions with their church and to go and start this partnership with Catracho Missions. And the rest of the team members that you see there are the team of Catracho Missions. And so those are the team members that are there year round that are serving these communities. And so, yeah, so that's kind of like who made up our team. I'm so nervous. I'm so sorry. Okay. So one of the things that's so incredible about teams is the fact that you all come together and you come from different backgrounds, right? We dress differently, we talk differently, we've experienced different things, have a different education. And in this case, we came from different cultures and we even spoke different languages. And yet in a mission trip, as you come, you're in one purpose and you move together in unity. And so we were there to build a fence. We were there to help protect this property and to lay the foundation so that they can build things that are going to reach out to the community to share the gospel and bring transformation and life to this community. And so in that, we all came together in such an incredible way. And so I have the first verse is Colossians 3:12-17. And this says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. I'm going to pause right there. In our team and in our life, it's really easy. I think we have a tendency to seek out people that look like us or who desire the same things as us or who are in the same life situations. I hear all the time people that are struggling to find community and their complaint or their place of tension is there's no one like me. I don't know who to connect with because there's no one like me. What you experience on a mission trip is that there's no one like you, but you're all there for the same reason. You're all there for the same purpose, doing the same work next to each other, beside each other. And so those differences don't matter anymore because we're actually seeking the Lord and his purpose. We're seeking his kingdom. And so it brings you into this beautiful place of unity. And we got to experience that in places where we would normally get frustrated with each other or the way that we talk to each other when we're tired and we're hungry and, you know, we're sick and things like that. There was forgiveness and there was grace. There was love and compassion. We came and we packed all of these items and we had our own packing list. And it would have been really easy for us to be like, nope, this is mine. I brought it. I get to use it. But that's not how it works on a mission trip. When someone is sick and they didn't bring the right medication, you go, here, Kevin, here's the right medication. Like, feel better. You know, you just like, you come together. And Kevin's not the only one. We all shared everything that we had together. And not only amongst our team and what we brought, but the Catracho team members. And they were taking care of us and we were taking care of them. And it's a beautiful picture of how the body of Christ is designed to operate. It throws away all of those preconceived notions of differences and things that make us different and brings us together in a place of unity. And then I'm going to continue reading here as well. And it goes, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And we get to experience this. We got to do a church service with them, and we would do worship at the bonfire every night in Spanish and in English. And it's beautiful, just coming together and working all day for the Lord and serving Him, and then coming together and praising Him and glorifying Him, and the way that it brings His people and His body together. It's just really cool. So that's one of the first elements that I wanted to share about. The second element, I've lost my notes. Okay. So the second element is in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27. Okay, this says, just as a body through one, oh, no, not through, the one, has many parts, but in all, I'm going to read the one up here, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. I can't see, I don't have my glasses. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This scripture is so incredible in talking about being a part of the body of Christ and the Big C Church. As well as this team dynamic that we're talking about. As Tom talked about, we all come into a mission trip and into life with different strengths and weaknesses. I have a lot of insecurity when I go on mission trips for construction because I'm not built like Tom. I'm not very strong. I'm not very fast. I'm not very efficient in construction things. And so I get this like insecurity where I'm like, oh gosh, is there going to be anything for me to do? And every single time there is a way that I'm able to contribute. There's a way that I'm able to be a part of it. And people are so patient and they teach you and you get to be a part of this bigger picture. But every time I have that insecurity and that fear come up. And if I allowed that insecurity to disqualify myself from going and being part of these things, I wouldn't get to experience the beauty of the Big C Church. I'm meeting people, and I should clarify. So Little C Church is like your like home church, your congregation right here, Explore Church. The Big C Church, and how the Bible talks about it, is like all of the believers around the world. And one of the incredible things about missions is that you get to go to all these different communities all over the world, or even in your own community, like in Joliet. Now we have this partnership and this connection with our family there. And he like brings you into this beautiful like family reunion with the Big C Church. And we all work together in such beautiful ways. And so my encouragement to you would be to not disqualify yourself. Don't disqualify yourself from the ministry that God is calling you into and that the Holy Spirit has laid on your heart. Don't disqualify yourself due to insecurity or pride, thinking, well, other people are going, so I don't need to, or other people are taking care of this in the church, so I don't need to. That's not how the body works. God has gifted each and every one of us with special talents and abilities and gifts that we are to use, that we are used to edify the body, to strengthen it, to seek His kingdom, and to build His kingdom. And so I really hope that you guys know that and that you guys can step out in boldness in that. So that's like the big thing. And then also just like, it's so cool, y'all. It's so cool how the body works together and how like this team came together, despite the fact that the same amount of us that can speak Spanish could speak English there. And it's incredible. They're our family. They are our brothers and our sisters, and we love them so much. And they love you guys because you guys are part of our body. You're part of our family. So there you go.
All right. Okay, so as we're moving through this, so stepping out of your comfort zone, realizing that in this life, we have to make that choice, whether we're going to trust in God. The reality that we need our brothers and sisters. And it's, and Nomi did a beautiful job. Family is diverse. And when you get around other people that are different than you, it helps you to actually mature, actually learn how to operate with other people in different personalities. And if you have a hard time doing that, then you need to step out of your comfort zone and step into a family, being able to be part of something that's unique in that way. A third part of a mission trip that's kind of different than our normal day life is not only are you stepping out and you're part of this group, this team, this family, but you have a purpose. You're all in it for the same thing. You're trying to accomplish something that is before you. And so everybody is working in different avenues and different skill sets and different just to be able to accomplish this purpose. And if you think about it, so much of our life, we are usually trying to work on purpose, but for our own purpose. We're usually not as a collective trying to accomplish something. And there's something unique about when you come in and you're actually working on purpose and unified to be able to accomplish something. So Kevin's going to come talk to you guys about that.
So, we all know our purpose is to spread the good news of the gospel in our family, through our community, and to the ends of the earth. And I feel like going into what I'm sharing, it's important to kind of talk about the differences between here and in places like Honduras as far as talking about purpose and how the collective group plays into that. Because I feel like here, we're really good at something called compartmentalization. In terms of different aspects of our life, you know, whether it be work, family, job, we have different buildings for different things, you know. And one thing that is so different about there is that they're really good at multi-purpose. So there's a room there that is part bathroom, part living room, part kitchen, part worship center. You take a nap there, you know. And same thing with tools. It's like, oh, I'm going to use this as a shovel, I'm going to use this as a hoe. You kind of just, you take something and make it more than the sum of its parts, and it, you give it importance and meaning, and you fully utilize that. And another thing, and it's something that Tom had talked about there that just kind of came to mind. I couldn't stop thinking about it when I knew I was going to come and talk about purpose and the collective mission, was that, you know, a lot of times culturally they eat together, they will sleep together, there's large family units within a house, you know, and job is part of ministry. It all kind of melds together, and there's a lot of unity and purpose that kind of comes together in that. And I feel like, you know, coming there, we all kind of brought what we brought. And when you got there, there is no packing. There's no, you know, oh, I forgot this, I'll run to the store, grab it. You know, it's, you're, you know, you're out in the middle of, you're kind of isolated, and you have to lean on one another and lean on other people's talents and abilities in order to get a job done, you know. So you're kind of, you're searching in the depths of yourself, trying to find, you know, different aspects of you to order help with something. And I think that leads to bonding together as a group, and you find ways in which you're gifted that you hadn't discovered yet. And I think going into situations like this where you're partnering in ministry with others, both within your church and abroad in the family of God, that's something that is so beautiful to be able to unveil and to let that blossom. And you never know what new revelation you're going to bring back to your church and to your community. And actually, the verse that I was going to share is actually this exact same one that Naomi chose. So it was 1 Corinthians 12, 13 through 15. I stopped at 15 just because I was like, it kind of just further explains, but you get the gist from it. But I'll just say it one more time. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And then it goes on, just as Naomi shared. So I knew God had a plan with that, and I was thinking that just now sitting over there, that Scripture is all-encompassing. It integrates, and it can be used for many, many purposes, just as it was today and what Naomi shared and what I'm sharing now. So I was like, I'm actually glad that that happened, because it helps to kind of further that message that I was trying to share. But one thing is that you don't have to do that just by going somewhere besides here, like Honduras. You can find that. There's many different aspects of being a part of community and church community that, and many beautiful gifts that you have within yourself that you have even yet to discover, and that God is still wanting to show you. All you have to do is step outside of your comfort zone and let God show you that and slow down. So I think one takeaway that I would want to give to all of you is, just as Catracho Missions and a lot of the Honduran culture that we experienced on this trip, is learn to integrate. How do you integrate your faith and the gospel message into all aspects of your life? And how do you let that saturate you and get a nice overarching purpose to what you're trying to accomplish? Because ultimately that's why we're here, and we need to find ways in which to make that the ultimate mission of our lives. And just when we think that there's not purpose in something, there always is. Everything that we do, everything that we think, everything that we say either brings us closer to God or further away from Him. So I just wanted to leave that with you guys.
Yeah, question. Sweet. Thanks, Kev. Did you have a question, Mom? You were raised. Our purpose down there was actually to serve the mission and the group, and so we ended up coming to a new property. It wasn't where we originally were planning on being, but they are using that facility to actually reach out to the community, and it's a very harsh community. It's a rural. It's very dark. We had one young girl that showed up. She was about 14, I think. And she carried a child. At first we thought it was her sibling, but it was actually her child. And that came from a situation where she was raped by her three uncles. And two of them committed suicide, and the other one was in prison. And her story is not unusual. And so the area has a lot of darkness, a lot of sexual sin, a lot of poverty. When girls reach puberty, they're no longer allowed to go to school to read. So there's literacy is rampant, and actually Bev's going to share on that. And so they're creating a center to actually reach out to the kids, to be able to start ministering to the women and start some different things there. You see all the goats and all that stuff. They're reaching out to the whole community as far as agricultural and being able to help them earn money to bring them out of poverty, plus be able to have a living. So there's a lot. And our focus that we were there is to build a security fence. We built a kitchen and an outdoor oven. And did a duck pond. I got to do a duck pond. so we did. We had a lot of construction, and then also ministering to the folks there also. So because of time, we got to Bev is going to come on up, and Bev is going to share with us, I think, one of one of the key aspects about a mission trip. Is when you go on a mission trip, usually your mindset is like, okay, God, we're going, I want to see you work. And so we have this mindset where it's like, okay, where's God, what's God doing, and how's he going to show up, and I want to see him. You know, we sang the song earlier, I'm not leaving this room until I see it happen. And I think sometimes when we go on a mission trip, we have that anticipation and that desire to see God move, which so often, unlikely, or it happens quite often, I should say, in our lives here, when we're comfortable, we don't really look for God to move. We're just kind of going through our daily lives. And I think the mission trips often put us in the place where it's like, no, we know God's real and he's going to move. That's why we came on this trip. And so, Bev, you want to come share?
Is it working? Okay. So there were a couple pictures that I had put in, and I wonder if they could come up. And was there a video? Okay. So I'll start. This is great. So my verse is... trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And over the years, most of you know, or many of you know, that I spent a couple years trying to disprove the fact that Jesus was actually really real. And really telling the truth. And then I found out that he was and said, oh dear. And then started trying to, and at that moment realized I thought I was supposed to evaluate the situation here on planet Earth and decide what was right and what was wrong. And I realized, oh, I'm not the evaluator. I'm supposed to listen and do what Jesus says to do. So there was a big pivot there. So I came first to this verse about that time, and that was like 8 years ago now. So at any rate, now I'll jump forward to last week. And if you, Josiah, would you put the picture back? This young lady is, she's deaf. She's one of the students on Saturday of this trip. The children came, 15 children came, and Amanda and Valerie and Elian and I can't think who else from Catracho, and myself and Sasha and Sheila, others helped, did a lesson with them. So the Catracho mission team goes to this land in Eldentel every week, if not more, and they provide, and they already have a relationship with these children. So you'll see a little bit more about what happened. So here's this young lady, as I said, is deaf. And then I think there's a couple more. Let's see what we have. That's all of us just working together. On the left is Amanda. She is one of the teachers of the children, regularly working with them. And then there's another. And this is the site where they're going to build the school. And the vision is a, I can't say square feet wise, but a moderate size building. And it's going to be two-story. The back of the building will go along that road on the far side of the field. You see, there's kind of a road. That's where we labored building this fence for security. And the school is going to be built there. The backside will go along that. And then it will be an L-shaped building, and it will aim towards the sunset in the evening. It's a beautiful spot. The lower floor is going to be a school. And amazingly, unbelievably, like you can't plan this, it's going to be Montessori. The reason why I have tears, there's no way you're going to hear this without my tears, so you're going to have to handle them. After I first believed Jesus was telling the truth, he said, I already had a Montessori school. So to say I was a I'm a Montessori enthusiast is a deep understatement. But he said buy a house in Lewis and Clark, and I said that doesn't make sense. But I thought, well, I'm now listening. I'm not deciding it, and I did it. And then gradually he gave the name for the school, which is Hope Montessori. It's in the Lewis and Clark area. That's what I'm doing now. Part of the vision always has been that God was saying, it's going to go, it's going to spread. You're making like a small example, and it's going to spread. And how do you do that and then go on one mission trip and then have them completely embrace? I thought I was going down there in October to talk them into Montessori. No, they already had decided. They already, and the experience is a shared understanding of what God is asking, that God's asking them to do something, their God's asking me to do something, God's asking all of us to do something. By my stepping on the experiment of, okay, I think I'm going to listen, he shows more and more and more. And what occurred this week was watching God's hand work in all these individuals in all the different way he does so beautifully. And then watching it all come together. I don't know exactly how you say that statement, but the finale, the end, is so much greater than the sum of the parts. It was just so beautiful to see his hand. So the biggest thing I wanted to say about it is we know that God doesn't play favorites, and he has this in all of our hearts. So I want to really encourage us here. I could, by going far away and seeing God work in mission, I could see how we can be on mission here. And here we are with our church. Not your normal church. Sorry, I don't want to offend anybody. Our church in the basement, ready to reach Missoula. We are on mission. We are on mission. And we're able to listen. So I want to go back with these words of encouragement. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Making Jesus your Lord instead of advisor, making him Lord, the boss. Abide. Try to give quiet, try to let yourself be quiet and listen. And the way he amazingly, beautifully speaks to everyone, he will speak. Obedience, even through adversity and suffering. The result is God's will can be done. The experience of seeing God's hand at work is the greatest experience I've ever had. We are all one, whether we think we are or not. That's what I want to say. Thank you. Praise God.
Did you have a question?
Thank you. This is just one of the many ways that he was working this week. So realization, we're going to be meeting via Zoom with three young women, part of the Catracho team, to start instruction preparation for the way to teach in a Montessori way in the field. Preparation before the building is even built. And the realization is she can learn to read. She'll be able to learn to read. So the preparation is, what are the lessons that she will need to prepare herself to take in learning beginning sounds? So as of now, her skills are very limited. She only just started participating. She would sit back because she was just following her sister. She participated in this. And when I realized that could be the case, oh, she can learn to read in Montessori. Well, I went and talked with one of the other, Maria is one of the teachers there. And she said she's had that on her heart right from the beginning. So all of our efforts that continue forward will be reaching these specific children, preparing a school for these specific children and this young girl. This is, and the relationships are already there. Yeah, thank you.
That's awesome. So there is a lot of different stories. There's a lot of different things that God has done, a lot of little details. And obviously we went really long today, and to be honest, it would take us several hours to get through all the different stories. And that's kind of the cool part about it, is you get to go see God move and work, and little connections and little things where you go, oh my gosh, I never even thought about that. And Bev's story is, you need to ask Bev. Bev's story is a really cool story about how God has worked throughout her life in order to put her in this situation for Katrasha Missions, where they're like, this is what we need, and Bev is being able to really partner with them and empower them in a really incredible way. Because of time, I apologize that we won't end with a song. I'm going to give you a couple quick announcements, and then we'll dismiss so that you guys can enjoy the rest of your freezing day. Just a couple quick announcements that are coming up. So Trailhead is just around the corner. So you need to sign up. It's February 2nd and 3rd. February 2nd is a Friday, but it starts at like 6 o'clock in the evening. Then it goes on the 3rd. There is a men's breakfast in the morning with the whole city. And then at, I think it's at like 11 o'clock, we start our classes again. So year one, you'll be going through personality, you'll be going through how God has made you, your core values, being able to basically figure out kind of where you fit and how God has made you unique in order to be able to find that place in ministry where you fit in and operate in the gifts and the sets that God has given you. And it's a very sweet way to begin to kind of figure out, okay, what's God doing in my life and how do I fit into the bigger picture of things? And then Trailhead 2, if you've already gone through Trailhead 1, Trailhead 2 actually is about developing you as more of a spiritual leader, stepping into being able to understand how do you cast vision, how do you understand what God is taking you from serving to a place of developing other people to help serve and being able to give you some of those skill sets. So make sure you sign up soon. If you wait, it's going to be a lot more expensive. We pay for your meals. You are going to be sleeping at home, but it's here at the church. We're going to have two different classes that are going on, and you guys will really enjoy it. So go ahead and sign up. There's a little code there you can flash and get that signed up. Other announcement, two I need to make is on our, you can keep that up there and tell people, do their little thing, Forge Groups. So men's Bible study is on Tuesdays, is that right? Yes, Tuesdays. And they will be meeting here at the church at 6 o'clock in the living room for now on. And so that's a move that way. But college ministry is starting again on, Bible study is starting on Monday, correct? 18th, starting on the 18th. And Wednesday night Bible study will be up again running this week at the Atard's house. And then also the young adults is doing theirs on Thursday night, and everything is still moving forward on that. Yes.
And then the youth group Bible study
starting
Tuesday.
Yes. So our youth group Bible study is starting on a regular basis now on Tuesdays. Be praying for Nomi as she heads up the youth ministry, and she's looking for those that would come alongside her and help her with youth and being able to carry out all the activities and craziness. We've had a ton of interest. She did a thing just last, right before we went to Honduras, and she had 9 kids show up, and And so so a lot of cool things happening there. So be praying for Nomi as she steps into that. Yeah, when I say youth, we are... So 6th to 12th grade. So teenagers. So some of you guys consider yourself youth. You are not. You're not a teenager. All right, I think that's it for announcements. Is that correct, Sasha, unless I missed anything? Only other announcement, if you are not a part of Connect Group, like the board game group, then you're missing out on announcements. Like I announced to my board game group that after church today, we're going to have pizza and be playing board games. And you're going, man, I want to play board games. Well, I guess you can come this time, but you're going to have to sign up. You're going to have to sign up on our Connect groups, and if you want to, after a little while here, we're going to start some games. We'll bring in some pizza and just have some fun downstairs today. So, Father God, we give you this time. We thank you for all that you do. We thank you for the privilege of being able to go and minister to others. Father, you have blessed us with so many resources, and I ask that you would help us to steward those in a way that we can bless not only our own people here, but, Father, those around the world. And so, Father God, we give all this to you. We thank you for the way that you work. We ask that you would shake us up, be out of our comfort zone, to be able to build family around us, to walk in purpose and unity as we begin to see you move in incredible ways. And so we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.